Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is V8011 IBM Business Process Manager Advanced Installation in an Isolated Environment with Oracle Database. Today's presenter is Daniel Eicholt. Daniel is an installation subject matter expert. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Daniel. Daniel, you may begin.
Thank you, David. Go ahead and slide two. So the agenda is to talk about BPM and process center and process server installation. Most of the presentation will be from the information center, and also most of the information here is also presented in the Production Topologies Red Book, which I'll give the number for at the end. This will be a silent installation of AIX with Oracle database in a system secured from internet access. Some of the challenges with working in an environment where you can't reach the internet directly from the host being installed is sometimes a hurdle to get over. Slide three. So this presentation will hopefully help that. For those that don't know AIX, there is a link here for all the information that you would like to be able to find out about how to work in an AIX environment. It is an open standards-based Unix operating system. It has a virtual machine capability, working in workload partitions. You can create many instances of a Unix environment in a single system. Slide four. So the outline of this presentation here, I'll talk about the preparation of the systems, what it takes to reconfigure the database, the process of downloading the files, installing the product binaries, and a summary of what needs to happen with creating the profiles and the deployment environment. Slide five. So an isolated system, of course, you'll have to have some access to copy files over to it. I've been using the NFS to do that for myself. And there is also other ways you can move files, of course. You can take a portable disk drive after downloading with a system that has access to the internet. But you can also create a HTTP server and you point the installation manager directly to that. The installation manager has capability to configure with a proxy server. We found that in many cases that's not set up for security reasons. So NFS and HTTP are the two that I see as a good alternative instead of using the sneakernet or copying the files on some portable device and moving it over. Slide six. So in the example, I call the NFS server, BPM8 NFS, and the isolated host as BPM8 AIX. And this is just preparing the systems to create an NFS server on an AIX host. You can run the command, as you see here, change NFS export as CHN CHNFS EXP. You can concatenate the export files and see the list there that gets inserted by this command into the exports file, or use the export FS command to look at the exports. The command line, you can find all the arguments here, but in the man page. But the security, the minus S is for security, and it's using the system for security. There's several different methods you can use for the client host to connect to the NFS server, and I won't go into all those descriptions here, but the type I set for this export is read-only, so that the host, BPM 8AIX, is the only host that will be able to connect to this exported file system. The isolated host, make a directory called slash software and mount that NFS server export to that. Very simple. There's in AIX a MIDI command that takes you through a graphical, character-based graphical interface to do all these operations. The command here I show is the result of the SMIDI log, as I did this also with SMIDI, the above operations. And you can see that it has a few more options there. Also, there's NFS examples, of course, in the man pages for AIX and in GPFS, administration program reference. It goes into much more detail on different types that you can do. Slide 7. The HTTP equivalent may be faster depending on your environment. A detailed example of this is shown in the Production Topologies Red Book. It's SG24-8135, if anyone wants to look at that. There's also links at the end that gives that. But in Appendix D, it gives an example, a different approach for installing IBM products using the HTTP server. After installing HTTP servers, you can set a password in the configuration file for HTTP. You can add the directory stanza here and restart the server, and it'll have the files that are downloaded into that directory available. Slide 8, more on the HTTP configuration. For Installation Manager, I create a user for the Installation Manager in the key file so that it can access the HTTP server. And then an example of the command line here with the URL for the repository. So instead of a file path for a repository, you give it the HTTP server and point to the keyring, and it'll connect to that HTTP server and pull in the files during the install. This is just an example command line. I didn't test much with this since I've been using NFS. I will continue with the remainder of the presentation in my examples showing file path to the NFS server. But you could substitute the URL for all the rest of the examples and get the equivalent. Slide 9. So in setting up the target host, there are detailed system requirements. Also with tuning AIX systems, there's some information in the Red Book about this and in the Information Center. But setting the network options for these parameters are good initial values. The number of open file descriptors there's various schools of thought on what are the maximum values to set. Since during the configuration of AddNode and several other places, there's a very large number of open file descriptors. While it unbundles jar files and links to libraries, depending on the path that you choose for your target install file systems, libraries, there can be quite a number of file descriptors. In some environments, you could possibly run into a denial of service type problem with too many local files being opened, but I've not seen that myself. The default value, however, for AIX is 2,000, and we sometimes hit that, and you'll see a out-of-memory error when it can't open a file. You can see some odd errors. So the Information Center provides 8,000. In some places, you'll see 10,000. Minus one will just set it to unlimited. With the IBM Support Assistant, there's a tool also available from DeveloperWorks called IBM Health Center. And in Health Center, you can monitor the number of open file descriptors and set a value for your comfort. There's also looking at the Unix command LSOF, which is available from my IBM toolkit, can look at a number of sockets and number of files opened as well. And you can point that to the process and list the number of open file descriptors. So I'm sorry to belabor that on these three lines here, but it is sometimes a problem that's overlooked on installing and configuring the systems, setting up the host. So I'm expanding on that here. So as long as you have at least 8,000, depending on your configuration, you'll be fine. 2,000, you'll run into strange errors. Yeah. So the isolated environment. So I'll provide the examples with a non-administrator install. You'd have to run the user ad for a user to create a user. I use BPM. You limit minus n will display the number of open file descriptors. Other problems I've seen where paging space is limited and temp. So here's some just general rules on setting that up. 11. So in the user environment on both the isolated system and the NFS server, I set up a profile and set some variables that enable me to have shorter command lines to type. You'd have to adjust these for your environment. For example, my home directory for the isolated environment user is BPM. I create a user path that has a subdirectory for that user, and this is your standards will apply here, overriding all these settings I have, depending on how you like to set things up. I like to have the history available through VI on the command line, so I also export all my variables as I go along. So set minus O, VI minus A allows me to edit the command line for my type errors and repeating commands easily. many switch to the Bash shell, so this might not apply to you. So it's all personal preferences and site standards. I set the variable S to software, so I don't have to type software all the time, and R for the repository path to where I unpack BPM8. I also created a variable which will expand to the home directory above and W as just a quick path for WebSphere home. Alias for the install command line, which will be installed into this path here. Slide 12. So with the above steps, the preparation is complete. We're all ready to download. NFS is there. You can test with transferring files and just seeing that everything works. 13. So the next step is maybe out of sequence, so you could even start this as the first step. I'm assuming that the database is running remotely and that it's already installed and that you would have to create the schemas, create the users, or the database administrator would do these steps. 14. So we're requiring a UTF-8 character set database and using a create table space for each user or schema would be something that you would have to look at if you, depending on the storage that you have, it's really what the database administrator and you determine is needed for your environment. There are some guidelines in the best practices in production topologies. So create the user in the schema and grant access to that, or your database administrator does. Slide 15. So DB privileges should be sufficient to do the operations that are necessary at the time, and space quota for the table spaces. All of this is the standard stuff with databases. In some environments, your application user may be restricted as part of your corporate policy from owning any database objects. So that adds some complexity to the environment, but offers perhaps most secure method. Again, that's your corporate policy of how you run your database. 16. So I summarized the table that's in the Information Center and in the Red Book here. The runtime privileges needed for BPM are simple for all here. A normal schema owner would have these, but if you create the schema and then grant access to that to a user, you would have to set these, or the DBA would have to set these permissions. So for all of the users, we would need the top line here, which includes VPC and DEI. Common DB and business space also need create view and create procedure, as well as process server and performance data warehouse. Need a few more. Messaging engines require ability to drop and clean sometimes everything. So truncate table requires drop any table and create index. And that's been a point of contention before with that level of security for that user, drop any table. So that may require messaging engines to go into a separate database instance in some cases, or just being aware that when you run truncate table, that user needs that permission. It's a performance thing. It's able to run without this, deleting everything from a table. Without truncate table, it can take a little bit more time. So it depends on your environment and your security interests. 17, the Red Book also goes into that a little bit more, how to make that decision. So at install time, there's much more requirements. You need to be able to create objects. And there's a link here to the Information Center, where you can search Information Center for detailed Oracle database privileges. So at install time, your DBA might want to create a SQL that just says, enable all these things and then take them away after you're done. 18. Beyond the install and runtime, there are some privileges needed for migration. I believe most of these are also available in install. DBMS lock package, maybe not, but if you're doing a migration, you'll need these privileges as well. 19. You can skip this slide. 20. We already talked about create table space. I should mention also the table space creation. It just depends on performance of what the next extents are and what your storage looks like. So it's something your DBA would have more knowledge of how to do that. Creating all the users, the usernames map to the different components. I include everything here from the Red Book. They were also doing a monitor and Cognos install as well. But the general idea here is that it also really just depends on your database usage, how you're going to set up. If you have separate instances or how what the load, your load is going to be. It depends on how you would want to set up. But for me, I set up a user per component here, as the Red Book did. And I just created a shell script that ran through this and created the SQL statements and then added that as the SQL to the as the DBA. 21. So once this process can take some time. So once the database is created, you'll be most successful by verifying the capabilities before continuing. Just get a SQL client. You could install a SQL client on the isolated host, although it's probably can use several other tools to do this as well from remote systems. But you'd want to test something from that environment or that subnet so that you can at least do a TNS ping or connect using the Oracle Connect String. Here I show the Connect String using a rack type URL, but your DBA will give that to you. 22. One other very useful tool for testing the database connection and just SQL statements, if you're not familiar with Oracle or any database, you can use the IID DB perspective. Once you select the database type, you'll see a drop-down for the JDBC driver, and there's an ellipse button on the right that is used to add the class path. So you'll need to install Oracle Client to get the JDBC driver. and you just point to that 23. The GUI then will, you can, it's pretty intuitively obvious how you can use that to connect, or once you connect to the database, you, different users, you can run those operations, just, you know, create table as a test, just to test the water, and then drop the table. So you can test your privileges out before continuing. So the IID install is for a Linux environment, support Linux and Windows. So this is a very simple install. Slide 24. So we'll come back to the database in a little bit. The like I said, that process can take some time depending on your DBA, access to your DBA, and getting all of the environment set up. So download the files to the NFS server or your intermediate host, the host that can connect to the internet. You may have to set proxy up for that. Here's the part number for the AIX install. Six packs. And recommended application server fix packs. Slide 25. The 8.0.1.1 has been out for some time, so you'll have we'll have several iFixes that you may want to look at as and bring in. So you can go to Fix Central and download the fix packs. With that, there's a bulk file transfer option that if you're on a system that doesn't have a browser as the ultimate, as the host server, the NFS server, you can use the wget command that you may have to install on AIX to save some time in file transfer. I've heard of people downloading to the laptop and then transferring over and taking a long period of time when that step isn't really necessary. You can go direct in most cases from an intermediary host that is going to be used as the NFS server or the HTTP server for the install. So collecting all of the URLs that are temporary in the bulk download option, you can create that into a list and then give the wget command and list and then go to lunch and come back and you'll have all the files downloaded. So it's a time saver when there's no browser install. Of course, there's, you all know there's many ways to download stuff. 26. So unpacking the files, I automate some of this for my lab, and this is a summary of the or a snippet of the shell that I use to expand the zip files. I can answer questions about this later, I guess, but just for each of the zip files, I create a directory with that zip file name using sed to strip off the .zip portion of it and create the directory. Once that's successful, ampersand there. Change the directory to that directory that I just created and then unzip the zip file and then continue with that. That'll unzip all of the iFixes. And then I just use unzip to take apart the or expand the packaged BPM. 27. So for in the case where there are several iFixes, which can occur in a later product, there will be sometimes superseded iFixes. Creating a list a response file for all of the iFixes can be tedious. There are command lines that you can use for each iFix install, to do everything in a single installation manager command line with a response file, I found this useful to build it this way. I'll try to run through this very quickly because for this instance, presently we won't have that many iFixes. There's also a tech note how to create this repository config file. And you can see the first echo line here is creating just the header layout policy and layout policy version, and adding that to the end of the repository.config, which I replaced with the variable R. And for I set the DIRS or directory to the result of this ls command, and then go through each file that is each directory then may have a superseded line in the iFix file. So I search for the superseded and I extract that from the list. So if you just go directly to Fix Central and download all of the iFixes and you say, I just want to get all of the iFixes installed, you could run into conflicts where you have superseded files, or superseded APARs. So in this, I'm just stripping those out so you don't see that error message, or you don't try to apply something that is superseded. And the rest of this is just adding the iFix files that are not superseded. I hope that's clear. It's also really not necessary to dig into this if you're overwhelmed by the shell here. You could go through, just look at the iFixes that you want to install and use command line. The command line will also tell you that this fix is superseded, or if it has a conflict, then you may need to uninstall the iFix that you just installed to install the later iFix. I hope that makes sense. I know that's a little bit long. 28. So install the product binaries is next. We'll show you the installation manager interactive install process first. Then go through the command line arguments to install WebSphere application server, the fixed packs, and then BPM. All of these can be installed in one argument command line for IBM IM, or installation manager, but I like to do it step by step. And as I'm presenting here, remind you that using the accept license on the command line means that you've read all the license agreements. 29. So the Information Center has all of the different operating systems and provides you with all of the commands that are needed. So for every operating system, every type of configuration. So in order to customize a instruction, we have a interactive install guide. So you'll see this as you go through the Information Center, and you can select it, 20, slide 30. So this provides the detailed steps, and it creates a procedure for you. Here I selected Advanced, 31. Now I'll flip through these slides rather quickly. AIX, network deployment topology, and WebSphere Application Server 32, Silent Install Process Center and Process Server 33. I'm using existing database, Oracle 34. There are two options here now, so I'm going to use both in the presentation. First, configure node, or slide 35, creating the deployment environment separately and creating the profiles, and then using WS admin command silently. At the bottom here, you see generate your instructions, slide 36. And once you do that, you'll be presented with a page like here, like you see here, 36, with a report of what you selected, 37, and then a lengthy procedure with these contents. I shouldn't say lengthy. It's a compiled procedure using the sections of the information center that are appropriate for the selections that you made. So it provides you an easier navigation, I guess, to the same instructions that are all there already without the interactive install guide. But this you can print and follow through these steps to build your environment. 38. I won't go into all the details of what the Interactive Installation Manager or Interactive Installation Guide provides you. That's easy enough that you can do that through the Information Center. You'll find these instructions in there as well. But I'm going to deviate from that a little bit, or quite a bit, actually. But I wanted to show you that that's there and that it will generate the instructions depending on your architecture. If you're using other types of operating systems or other databases. The Installation Manager install, again, I created shortcuts with the path to things. The $S here can be replaced with /software/. So Installation Manager was downloaded separately here, but could also be under the BPM path for the default instance. Our current version of Installation Manager is 1.6.3. This is a later version that then was released with BPM, but it's supported. There are some Installation Manager required fixes for using the graphical interface. So you want to check for tech notes if you're running into problems with glib, some of the graphics libraries for that. Also, version 1.6 also has language environments that are new. So in past, the lang variables or the characters, international character sets, in the environment, we're not being Installation Manager was not being impacted by that before, but now since the Installation Manager does support languages for X-Windows, your X-Windows server will have to support those fonts, and so we're seeing some problems with remote X-Windows sessions. Kind of going off topic here a little bit, but Installation Manager, the latest versions will always work with the base product that you're installing, but you may have some X window changes with the later version. In this case, I'm just using silent install, so I shouldn't be impacted by that at all. When you're using So here, the first line I'm saying, use the user install command, accept license, and that will install Installation Manager in the default path, which is your home directory represented by the tilde IBM Installation Manager. The NFS servers that don't have security equivalents between the client and the server may have problems with locking. If the user has read-only access to the NFS server file, it may try to do a lock promotion if the user's not known on the server. That's a little long, but you can run into a hang type condition with Installation Manager using NFS. So I just avoid that here by echoing CIC repro locking equals false and append that to the config INI file for Installation Manager. In a case where you would have a NFS server that's disconnecting, then that's probably not a good idea, but I haven't had that problem with any missing files or anything like that. So there's a good reason to have file locking, but in my case, I haven't had that. Of course, with the HTTP version, if you selected that, you would need to worry about this file locking thing. It'll transfer all the files locally and then install with that URL. Encrypt passwords using the file path above Installation Manager Eclipse configuration / tools IMCL or anyways, there's the line to encrypt passwords for connecting to Oracle for Installation Manager to connect to. So the command line to install or encrypt passwords. The rest of the commands will be using that path with tools IMCL. The response files sometimes can be difficult to, or in order to display from a repository what the command line arguments should be for install, you can list the product IDs using this last command. So I'm sorry, I'm kind of struggling with these last two commands. I didn't really give a good description here of what I'm doing with these, but you can look at this as examples. So the first line here is really the only line that's needed to do the Installation Manager, and then the locking line if you wanted to, if you're using NFS and have want to prevent any hang type condition, you can add this line. So apologize for going a little bit long on encrypt passwords and install list of products, but those are just two other features of Installation Manager you might need. Slide 39. Installation Manager is now installed, and I'm using the alias that I created from my .dot profile on the isolated host as logged in as the BPM user. So it has an alias that points to IMCL. Or if you wanted to use the entire path to IMCL, which is under tools. So the command line, the rest of the command line arguments are for the features I'm installing, and the repository or the installation path is my home directory /w, which I set up in my profile also. Repositories, the path to that I set in the .dot profile, /boss repository config. Properties I set for 64-bit and ND. Clean and temporary just basically say for clean, it says don't use any existing preferences, and temp is saying don't persist these settings into the repository. The installation manager information center has the details for the command line arguments for IMCL. So the real result of this is now you have Installation Manager installed. You can install WebSphere Application Server. Slide 40. Right after I install Application Server, I update it to add the latest fix pack, which is 8.0.0.6 presently. And similar command line argument, I have S set to slash software where I unpacked all of my iFixes and fix packs. 41. I check for the required iFixes. You can look in this tech note for WebSphere Application Server and see that these required iFixes for BPM are included in 8.0.0.6. I set my path up to that where I unbundled 8.0.0.6 iFix is the one that is required that isn't in part of or that is available for 8.0.0.6. I set the path to that with as I, and then the update command line at the end here shows that's being used. I just like to set variables so that it makes the command line shorter. 42. And now that the base WebSphere application server is installed, I can install BPM. And the command line here is pretty similar to the above. 43. There's required iFixes before going to 8.0.1.1 or doing a database upgrade or bootstrap. And again, I just run IMCL again to install that iFix. Literally, these two commands could be added together on the same line for IMCL, but I like to do things in stages. 44, and then update to the latest release of the fix pack. So at some point, I imagine this number will change, and then you could apply the same process. 45. So now install is complete. You can run version info. There are some changes to the latest, which we used to have listing all of the iFixes and such. When you send information to support, you want to list all of the iFixes for version info, and usage can give you the synopsis of what command line arguments to send. iFixes, I think, is the latest, the latest way to do that. Of course, we have our tech note that we send you when you open up PMRs to report versions. So the next step is to create profiles. There's two ways that I showed you earlier. One is using the manage profiles command. Using the DB design generator can help you greatly reduce the number of command line arguments if you choose that process. One of the reasons to use manage profiles process is to use the port def argument so that you can define which ports are being used. In AIX, if you're creating LPARs, you can use all of the default ports and have each instance have their own default ports. Configure node also has a property for starting port, So Configure Node actually makes things much simpler. But if you want to get more custom, the Manage Profiles command line process still works just fine. 46. There are also many more papers that show you how to do all this with command lines. So, kind of a repeat of what I just said. Slide 47. So, with Configure Nodes, you'll do all of the steps in sort of a one shot. The process center and the process server, the only difference in the commands here are the response and properties. Slide 48. Under the path here, you see util and these util samples. There's these property files. I create a work directory under my home and copied everything here to that and rename for my node instead of the sample. And in this file, you'll edit to give all of the usernames for the databases, the schemas, whether it uses a table space or what the table spaces are. Actually, I'm not sure now about table spaces. I went on a little bit there. But the usernames, passwords, you can use the earlier command to encrypt passwords in the file. And I won't go into this anymore. Slide 49. So the command line to configure node, once you execute it, it'll read that properties file and will report what it's doing for you. And these are the steps that you would take if you used the profile manager command line arguments. Slide 50. And so it's almost a repeat of the previous slide after it completes. Slide 51. It continues on. Slide 52. So the alternate to the configure node is to go through the DB design process first, manage profiles, and these are the basic steps that you saw above. Slide 53. So the DB design generator can help you greatly if you have configure node. It attaches to those users and expects those permissions. In some environments, your DBA won't give you that kind of permissions. So you can use the DB design generator to generate specific scripts. These are the DB scripts from the BPM home directory also, but it edits them and adds the usernames, do substitutions and things like that, so that it's very specific to your environment. You can create a DB design file, edit it with design generator with the argument minus E. You can validate it, and then you can generate the scripts. The reason to do this process is that you can have consistency for managed profiles and creating the deployment environment using that design file, so everything's consistent in those steps. 54, and then you can hand off the scripts to the DBA to create all of the components and then set the security. So you, in the response for the profile management command, you would say delay config so it doesn't try to create those tables and such. So this kind of a repeat of the above, but during the design, when we created the user, it's sort of a repeat of that slide. But while you go through the DB design generation through the command line, it'll prompt you for these components and ask you for schemas and usernames for this. so I kind of separated this out for myself when I created my users. I use this as sort of a cheat sheet so I can see which ones. Not showing the ones for Monitor, Cognos, and Imond for the ones that we're showing in the red books. 55. So more of the DB design prompts. So this is a sort of a summary of what's being asked for. There was something I wanted to point out here. I'm missing it now. I apologize for that one. 56. So as it's going through, this is out of sequence here. This was B at the end of the configure node, part of the process of that. Sorry, this slide's out of order. 57. So the template path, once you've created the design file, you'll execute the manage profile command using the DB design file as one of the arguments. The other path information is as far as where what the profile name will be, the port def file, things like that, as part of the command line argument. But the couple of the very important ones is for process center, you would have these templates. You would run manage profile with each one of these separately. So you'd have a process center and a process center managed profile, process server, and one or more managed profiles. 58. And here I'm just showing the manage profile command with one of the templates. After you create your deployment manager profile and start it, you would add the node. 59. And after you added the node, you create the deployment environment. You use wsadmin commands. I found this with using the design file as the argument, save you time. These are all of the prompts that you have to normally give in a administrative console when you go through. There's a lot of users and schemas to enter, and using the design file just avoids all that. So I think this is a great time saver in setting up your environment. Slide 60. This generates the environment. 61. And then Bootstrap sets up all of the some of the database. Slide 62. So one of the featured documents may not be on this first list is the Productions Topology Red Book, which is everything that I've shown here is really in the Red Book. I wanted to present it as a simplified for AIX. Any really details that you found that I may have skipped in the presentation here can be found in the Productions Topologies Red Book. And you can search for Red Book and then SG248135 and find that. It's Production Topologies Red Book for 801. Or BPM 8. And then a few other URLs here that are related to what I talked about and tuning and best practices. Slide 63. So I hope you found this useful. I know there were some a couple of slides that were out of order there, but overall I think that I showed you what it would take to do an isolated install, some of the challenges with working with Oracle security, setting up a tight, secure system, installing in stages so that you lay down each stack. This has shown as a useful process, especially when there are maybe components that we remove, or iFix that we remove as a necessary step to get to the latest. And we'll always fix defects and produce iFixes so that you can avoid problems by reading through those iFixes and installing the latest fix packs. Configure node is very efficient and will save you many steps. Slide 64. I'll hand this back to you, David. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daniel, for a great presentation. Slide 64 contains additional WebSphere product resources that we hope you can find useful. And finally, moving on to slide 65, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list, a mailing list, and to subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, we would like to open the lines for questions.
There are no further questions at this time.
Thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Daniel, for presenting today.
Thanks, David.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation.